It's Monday, May 13th, and the topic this month is come out wherever you are.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I am always absolutely thrilled and delighted to see so many gods and goddesses in this room. I hope that each and every one of you remember that you are gods and you are goddesses. That, I tell you, you can look up, Google it if you want, Andy, and you can look that up. Know that ye are gods. It's right in the Bible, but no one ever reads that to you. And when I was in brand-name religion, I brought that up, and they said, forget it. You cannot be that. So, anyway, remember that you are gods and goddesses. Let that sink in, and know that you're creative. You're absolutely magnificent, creative people. And keep that creativity going. Today, we're talking about come out wherever you are. And this thing that we're trying to find inside of us is this thing that we call God. Well, God is creative. You are creative. People say, oh, I'm not creative. Everyone is creative. It just depends to what degree. And people that are creative learn to be creative. You may be born with creativity, but you have to work on it to keep it. And it grows and grows, if you've ever noticed. I want to read you something that somebody sent to me. We are taught that you must blame your father, your sisters, your brothers, the school, the teachers, but never blame yourself. It's never your fault, but it's always your fault. Because if you wanted to change, you're the one who has got to change. You have got to change. We're taught from day one, with institutions, brand name churches, and the world itself, that something else is always to blame. Please give that idea up and take the responsibility for yourself. When I use the word responsibility, people sometimes get very upset and frightened with that word because, they don't want to take responsibility. Responsibility comes from the word to respond. Learn to respond differently, to stimuli on the outside of life, and certainly learn not to believe the world. So I'm going to read this one more time, and then I'm going to tell you who said it. We are taught that you must blame your father, your sisters, your brothers, the school, the teachers, but never blame yourself. It's never your fault, but it's always your fault because if you wanted to change, you're the one who's got to change. Katharine Hepburn. Katharine Hepburn. Why is that so important? Well, she changed a lot in her life and so forth, and she was a very creative person. But when she hit Hollywood, they didn't want her. She was box office poison, they said, because of her voice and because the first few movies that she did didn't do anything. She did not give up. She did not give up. She kept right on going. She knew she had talent. She knew she had creativity. And I think that she's still the only one in the world that had 4 Oscars. She still holds that title. There are people close with 3. I think Meryl Streep has 3, but she doesn't have the 4th one. Never give up on yourself, people. Do not do that. Take a lesson from Katharine Hepburn and other people who Hollywood did not want or an industry did not want. They had faith in their own selves. Katharine Hepburn had to have a great deal of faith in herself. And where did she draw that from? From inside of her. And what was that? It had to be this thing that we call God. It had to be the confidence. You have to have the confidence of God. You often hear, I believe in God. It's all right to believe in God. But the thing to remember is, believing in God is one thing. Having the belief of God is a completely different thing. You must have that belief that you are a creative person, a confident person, a successful person, because that's what you were brought to this plane of action to learn about yourselves. When you decided to incarnate on this planet, you decided to incarnate because you have something to offer and because you wanted to leave something. So find out what that is. It doesn't have to be the greatest thing in the world. You don't have to leave the Empire State Building behind or the Trump Tower behind. If you are nice to somebody, that's enough in this world. If you plant a garden and watch it grow, that's enough in this world. But learn to love yourself. How much longer do you think you have on this plane of action? How much longer do you think you have? Everyone thinks that they have time. Oh, I'll work on that next week. I'll work on that next year. I'm here to tell you, you don't have time. You don't have time, and you can't find yourself in time. Oh, I'll find myself in time. Why can't you find yourself in time? Because time does not exist. There's no such thing as time. Either you know it now or you don't know it. So you might as well make up your mind that you know it now. That you know it now. And don't allow your mind to tell you differently. See, the mind is very devious. The mind will say to you, oh, let's wait 18 months. And then you'll have enough knowledge, you'll have enough of this, that, and the other thing to do what you want to do. So you go along with your mind. You say, okay, I can wait 18 months. And 18 months comes, and the mind says, well, now it's too late. You've waited too long. The mind is never going to tell you the truth. Do not listen to your mind. You must learn to use your mind. That's what this teaching is all about. Learning to use your mind so that when you say, I am a god or goddess, your mind says yes. That it is not a fantasy, that it becomes a reality. What is God exactly? I have no idea. You can read about it. People have written books about it. And you can go to all the churches that you want. But no one is quite sure what God is. This teaching teaches that God is life itself. That's the only life, it's the only intelligence, it's the only wisdom, it's the only mind. And we're living, moving, and having our being in that mind. So, we want to learn to bring this God quality out of us. We want to be able to see God. So, in order to see God in everything, you have to learn to think differently. Remember, you do not see with your eyes, you see with your mind. So if you can keep yourself in what I like to call a God mood, you can learn to see things differently. When you look around, when you take a walk and so forth, you're outside in this beautiful air, this beautiful stuff. Start letting your mind think, oh, I'm walking in the mind of God. See the flowers, see the trees, see all that stuff that is around you and give thanks for it, for this thing called life that is in, as, and through everything. In, as, and through everything. There's not one person alive today, I don't care how intelligent they are, that can tell you how to grow a plant. They can tell you, but they have no idea how a plant really grows. Remember the little seeds that I brought in? Now they're all growing and they're about ready to bloom. My zinnias already. Every day I water them and I thank them and I look at them and I see God in there working. Because there's life. There's life in there. This is what you have to see. People are waiting for some great big thing to happen so that they'll have an epiphany and all this kind of hoorah. And they'll become enlightened and all this. Everyone is so worried about becoming enlightened. To become enlightened means to notice. That's all enlightenment means, is to notice what you're doing, what you're saying, where you are. To bring your mind into your body. so that your mind is in your body and not floating out there somewhere. You have to keep bringing your mind into your body. And then you have to learn to think God thoughts after it, or stay in this God mood, so that you're always in a God mood. Yes, it's difficult. Can I do it? Absolutely not. Some days I think, oh, Dallas, you might as well give up. But I don't give up. Because if this is something that I want to do, last week I told you we're in God training. We're training. We're always in training, and we have to keep practicing till we're able to see this, till we're able to do that. But we get confused because we put many lenses on, many glasses. We take on and put off, you know. We put on hate glasses and all we see is hate. We put on love glasses and we see love. We put on glasses of understanding. We're the ones that are doing that. And that's how you start to see God in everything. You have to learn to see God in everything. You know, the Buddhist monks and so forth practice and practice and practice till they're able to see God in bird doo-doo. Instead of looking and saying, ugh, look at that. You see, everything is God. Doesn't matter. Everything is God. And you must learn to see God in everything. But the most important thing is learn to see God in yourself. Learn to see God in yourself. None of us grew up in a home or in a church or an institution where they said, why don't we see God in things? They told us that God was outside of us somewhere. And we started to believe that. This other thing that Katharine Hepburn said, not to blame. We're taught blame from day one. And when it really boils down to something, what do we say? The hurricane was God's fault. The earthquake was God's fault. We're always blaming something else. We're always blaming something else. Don't blame outside of yourself, and don't blame yourself. Give yourself a break. Learn to love yourself. Learn to hold yourself in the highest of esteem. Learn to see yourself as this God in the making. There's one woman at the present moment, her name slips my mind, and she said, we're Godlings. We're Godlings. You see? We're learning to become God. Why we are not taught that, I have no idea. I have a slight idea that it's so that other people can manipulate us and so that the institution can manipulate us. But we are definitely part of God. We're part of God. And we have to know that, and we have to believe that, and we have to say to ourselves, I can do this. I can do anything. You know, every morning I get up and I say, I can do all things through God, which strengthens me. I can do all things through God, which strengthens me. I don't get up in the morning and say to myself, I can do this. I get up in the morning and say, ah, here's God right here beside me. And God can do this. And God can do it. We were talking earlier about the idea that all things are possible with God. You have to believe that. And when we say all things are possible with God, then we have to bring that into ourselves, don't we? And we have to say all things are possible with me. All things are possible with me because all that I am is God. But I am not all that God is. So, learn to do those things for yourself. How many people during the day say to themselves that they are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter? How many people do that? I repeat that mantra many, many times during the day because I'm still not convinced. I have to convince myself. That's what life is all about, convincing yourself. And you have to do that. I can give these talks, I can tell you all this, but you have to practice it, and you have to do it, and you have to start believing that there is a power in this universe that is greater than you are, and that you are one with that power, and that power is working in, as, and through you, right here and right now. That is what this teaching is about, so that you know that you have power. We are not victims. If you're a victim in this teaching and become a victim, you've completely missed the point. You might as well go to a brand name church, because they love victims. You know, people line up to go to those churches so they can complain of what happened to them and what a victim they are. We're here to be victorious, and we're here to learn how to be victorious. And one of the ways we learn how to be victorious is to change this little mind of ours and know that this mind is capable of change, and that we can see ourselves in a whole new and different way by changing our mind. As soon as you change your mind about something, the outside world changes. The outside world never changes as long as you agree with it. And so many people agree with the outside world. Don't. It's telling you one lie after the other. And it's a horrible, horrible thing. A friend of mine called me the other night, and she said, "You've been watching this trial." And I said, "No, I don't watch such things, because it's ghoulish and I won't do it." She said, "Well, there's a woman standing outside so glad that the woman got the guilty verdict, because she was praying to Jesus to give the girl the guilty." This thing called God, or this man called Jesus, never did that. You cannot say to God, "Make the verdict guilty. They deserve it," you see. Any time that you think, "Oh, that person deserves something," you're no longer in a God mood. You are somewhere else, because God thinks that you deserve to be held in the highest of esteem. Never any of this other stuff. The rest of that stuff is the world. How people get through the world by thinking that God is vindictive is absolutely beyond me. God does not take sides. God does not show favorites. God holds everyone in the highest of esteem. The mind of God is incapable of doing what we do. We put people and things on a hierarchy. The mind of God does not put anybody on a hierarchy. Kings and queens and this and that and peasants and all that. Everyone is exactly the same in the mind of God. But our mind is not. And our mind loves to do that so that it makes us feel better. And that's that small little ego mind of ours. So when you see that happening to you, stop it. Don't punish yourself. Don't do any of that stuff. Say, "Look, here it is. Now I'm starting to understand how my mind works. And it's not working correctly. It's not working the way I want it to work." And your mind will listen to you. The mind will listen to you. You are the person you are today because of all the thinking that you have done. You are the conclusion of that thinking. So if you don't like who you are, what you are, and what you're doing, you have to change your mind. You have to start seeing yourself as God itself, and know that you are creative, and you can respond to the world differently. You do not have to take the responsibility and say, oh. Just respond to it differently without the blame and the shame and the guilt. But hold yourself in a different light. See yourself differently. And every time your mind says something mean to you, stop it. God does not punish, but yet we punish ourselves constantly. And some people get a thrill out of punishing themselves. They let the mind beat them up. Do not let your mind beat you up. What is that mind anyway? It is absolutely nothing. And yet you believe that it's absolutely powerful, and you allow it to beat you up. You allow it to beat you up. God is not beating anybody up, and God's mind is certainly not beating itself up. So, learn to join in that. Learn to think God thoughts after it. I have said this many, many times. I sit when I can't figure something out, and I say, what would God do in this situation? How would God handle this situation? And I always rise above the world in it, because the world only will give you two answers, either yes or no. But you have to go up in consciousness to the mind of God, where there is a third answer always. There is a third answer. Why is there always a third answer? Because there's nothing but harmony in the mind of God, and the mind of God must always stay in harmony. Must always stay in harmony. You see, and if you're in the lower consciousness of yes and no, right and wrong, there's no harmony there. There's no harmony there. If you move up, the situation will change and you will find the third answer, which is the God answer to everything, because God must always be in harmony, and it must always be in harmony with itself, because it's all there is. God is all there is. There's nothing outside of God. It may look that way, it may appear that way, but that is an illusion. And we have been taught to live that illusion. Stop living that illusion. Keep yourself centered in God. Learn to think God thoughts after it. Say to yourself, how would God approach this? There must be an answer to this that is for the benefit of all those concerned. And I often tell you this about demonstrations, because everyone wants a demonstration and they want it immediately. Now, I'm sure the mind of God can think quickly and do all that, but it also has to make sure that it's for the best of all those concerned. So it may take a moment for that to come about. And we snap. We want it right away. We want it right away. And if you ever made a decision and you realize, uh-oh, that's not for the best of all those concerned. Maybe the best for you, but it's not for the best of all those concerned. And when something is not in the best of all those concerned, now your mind does not have harmony. You see, and the whole idea in life is to find harmony. So if you want to find this thing that we call God, you have to start somewhere. And one of the places to start is with harmony. One of the places to start is with harmony. Everything has to be harmonious. Everything has to be working together, not pulling apart. The world pulls apart. This thing called God pulls with everything. You see, everything has to work together. And when you go out there in the world and see the different things in your life, if you take a walk, you people take walks, look around and see all the things. I was out today. It was hot, but there were the birds. There were the trees. There were the flowers. There was everything that was working. Everything was working in harmony. That's how you have to train yourself to see things. Otherwise, the world looks very bleak sometimes. This is not a bleak world that we live in. Not a bleak world that we live in. I'm very fond of saying a world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. A world that produces flowers cannot be hostile. You want a hostile environment? Move to the moon. That's hostile. This planet, this wonderful gem of a thing that we live on, has everything here for us. Everything here for us. And we must know that, and we must see that. But we allow the world to tell us differently. We allow the world to mess up our mind. Don't allow that to happen to you. See harmony. See beauty all around you. Because that's what this thing called God is. It's no longer an idea that God is a person, a superhuman being, or any of that stuff. Those thoughts are leftovers from Mount Olympus, when they had Zeus and Thor and all that. It's a leftover that God is someplace else in heaven or in Mount Olympus and is a superhuman being. God is not a superhuman being. God is an essence. And you have that essence within you. And contained in that essence are all the qualities that you're looking for. All the qualities that you're looking for. Everything is in there. So look and see and give yourself a break and stop all this stuff, because you're only here on this plane of action for a fleeting, fleeting time. It may seem long to some people. I have an aunt that's 97 now, and she wants to live more. She wants to live longer, you see. But someday she will no longer be here. Someday I will no longer be here. That doesn't frighten me in the least, by the way. I'm not one bit concerned about any of that. I'm concerned about living right here and right now. That's what I'm concerned about. How can I live my life to the fullest? How can I hold myself in the highest of esteem? How at nighttime can I say to myself, Dallas, you did a good job today. You did a good job today, Dallas. Boy, you're a wonderful human being. You made it, kid. That's what I want my mind to tell me. That's what I want my mind to tell me. That's what I want your minds to tell you. So, now, I've heard a lot of people are missing the Matter Dance, so we're going to do that. So let's remember that we are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter. I matter. I really, really matter. Yes. So do that for yourself. You don't need me all the time to do it, and I'll try to remember to do it, because I've had several students say to me, why don't you do that anymore? And they really do enjoy it. And when I do that and look around here, you all smile.
We love it.
You all smile. You see, so it's touching something inside of you. And we don't get that, do we? No one walks up to you during the day and says, guess what, you matter. Do you have people saying that? I was almost 40 years old before I heard anyone say that to me. It was my friend Betty. She said, "Dallas, after all, you have to remember that you matter." Well, I could have fallen over. I never knew that. I was working at a store called The Storehouse selling furniture, and I pasted it on the cash register that I matter, because it never dawned on me. I never heard anyone say that to me. My parents never said that to me. They weren't mean. They weren't this, that, or the other thing. But it never dawned on them. Why didn't it dawn on them that I mattered? Because it never dawned on them that they mattered. It never dawned on them that they mattered. You see? So you have to do that now for yourself. You see? You cannot blame that. Oh, my parents never told me that. So what? Now I'm telling you. And now you can tell yourself. So remember that. This is how this thing, the title for this talk came to me always at nighttime. Come out, wherever you are. Because you have this seed inside of you, this thing called God inside of you somewhere. And you've just never allowed it to come to the surface. And now it's time to come to the surface. I said last week when I was young, I was embarrassed. You know, young children immediately know God. They know God. You don't have to teach them that. You don't have to teach them that. But I'll distinctly remember I used to pray at nighttime aloud. I was taught to pray aloud. And it was that, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And I heard one time my mother and father telling other people, "Oh, Dallas prays at nighttime, and he says this, that, and the other thing." It's just so funny and so silly. They never heard it again. They never heard it again. Now, I kept saying it, but I said it silently because I thought they were making fun of me. Whether they were or not, doesn't matter. But we get embarrassed. So what I'm trying to explain to you is, we all have this God, we all believe in God, and we all have this God in us. Sometimes we're embarrassed to show it. And we're embarrassed if we're in a group of people that are not like-minded. We hate to say that, because if I would have said that years ago, my father, he would say, "Ah, you're a Bible thumper." You see, he had lovely names for everybody. And a Bible thumper, you see. So, you start to hide. You start to hide. So, somewhere in your background, you knew perfectly well that you were God. You knew perfectly well that God was inside of you, and that you were creative. But then you allowed the world to take those things away from you, little by little. And the world convinced you differently. Now it's time to forgive yourself and forgive the world and forgive everybody else and go back to that childlike quality that you had when you knew damn well that you were God, that you are creative, that you have an imagination, that you could do things, and you didn't let anyone stop you. This little saying from Katharine Hepburn, if she would have believed what the industry had told her, she would have never had 4 Oscars. Clint Eastwood, who is now an icon, if he would have believed them when they said, "Your Adam's apple is too big, get off the lot, you'll never be an actor," we wouldn't have an icon. I forget what they told James Gardner. They also told him to leave the lot, that he would never be an actor. So many times in this industry, and I'm using these as examples because we live here in Los Angeles and in Hollywood, the people that are passing all this judgment out don't listen to them. You have to listen to yourself. You have to rise above these people's judgments of you and go on and say, huh, well, that's their opinion. It has nothing to do with me whatsoever. And we find this in countless places, in countless industries, in success stories. How many people were told, oh, you'll never make it, you'll never do this, you'll never do that. But somehow they found inside of them the strength and the courage, because this thing called God is inside of you. And when you find strength and courage, you find God. God never wanted you to have a spirit that was timid. God wanted you to have a bold spirit. God wanted you to say, this is who I am and this is what I can do, and I am a creative individual. This is what God wants for you. And now you must learn that and do it for yourself. I think I gave Andy this affirmation years ago. Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. As soon as you're bold, God perks up. As soon as you're bold, try it. Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. So, come out wherever you are. And if you cannot bring yourself to think that there's a God hiding inside of you, how about creativity? How about imagination? How about all the other qualities that you want in your life? See? The main quality that people are lacking, and that's why I put that in there. You know, you can go, the outside world will tell you, and if you go to a psychologist, they will tell you, you're always falling into two groups. Either you feel that you're not worthy or you're not deserving. They only have two groups. They will never tell you that you may have a feeling that you're not lovable. And there are many, many people out there that do not feel lovable. You have to feel lovable. You have to bring yourself to the idea that you are the beloved in whom this thing called God is well pleased. You are the beloved. You see, you're already loved. And we say God is love. We change the word love and God around, don't we? So you have to know that you're love. You have to know that you are love. And you have to know that you're lovable. But what do we do about this? We start to always look in the wrong places, people. Don't look for love outside of you. Look for love inside of you. And you've all are familiar with this. You must become the thing itself. If you want prosperity, you must become prosperity. If you want love, you must become love. If you want God, you must become God. You must become God. And that reverts right back to the 70s and the human potential movement, when what was their motto? You must always act as if. You must always act as if. Once you start to act as if, you become that. You become that. And that's what we are trying to do here. We're trying to become God. It may sound grandiose, and your mind may say, oh, please get over yourself. Now, when I say stay around like-minded people, I would never go to Pennsylvania around those people that I love and say, guess what? I'm learning to be God. Why, they would lock me up. They would say, he finally went. We knew he was crazy all these years. Now he's finally gone. He's finally done it. Is that not right, though? Oh. August comes from Pennsylvania. You know what they do in Pennsylvania. They would think you were a complete nutcase. so they ran him out. People, Pennsylvania. Lovely people there. And they have lovely lives and so forth. It's not the life I want. I want more from life. I want to be able, this time, on this plane of action, right here and right now, I want to be able not only to experience this thing called God, but to become this thing called God. Because there's nothing else to become. There's nothing else to become, people. And it may sound grandiose. It may sound insane and so forth. But we have to keep working on it. We have to keep trying. Because I see too many people mentally tortured. They're mentally tortured all the time. And they're mentally tortured because they don't hold themselves in the highest esteem. They think there's something outside of them causing everything. I had a client today who's blaming everything on her mother. And she's blended with her mother. And her mother, has so much power and this and everything. I said, quit giving it to her, you idiot. I didn't use the word idiot. These things happen in life. And it may be absolutely true that somebody is controlling somebody else. But you have to say, stop. You have to say, stop. Here's who I am, and I'm not going to allow you to do it anymore. You have free will. You have a mind. And you have the mind of God working with you. And any time you think that you don't have enough power and so forth, sit down and remind yourself that I am one with this power, this one thing called God. I am one with it. And if you're one with something, you have to be the thing itself. You have to be that thing. So why this is so difficult sometimes is beyond me, except that the world erodes it constantly. And we don't have enough people telling us. We don't have enough people telling us. And if you watch the news and you watch the world itself and the papers and everything, you're not going to get a true idea of what this thing called life is. You are going to get all the tragedy, all the hurt, all the pain and so forth. We, with our minds, have created this world. And we, with our minds, have created the way the world works and the way our minds think. Now, we've made an error somewhere along the way, and it is time to correct that error. It is time to stop buying into it. And people buy into it all the time, and they can come up with all the facts and all the figures. They can do that. And if you go to anything called talk therapy whatsoever, they will immediately place the blame on somebody else that caused this to happen to you. There's not one therapist that I know is going to say, you know, it's your fault. You could correct that by changing your mind. They're going to say, you know, you poor child, your father did it, your mother did it, your sister did it, this person, or the world itself did it to you. The world did nothing to you. If it did, you allowed it to happen. Now it's time to say to yourself, I'm not going to allow that to happen anymore. I'm a grown up. I'm a big person now. I can think for myself. And all that other stuff. You know, so many people are fascinated with the past. You know, I never think of the past. I never think of the past. I never even think what I did this morning. And when my mind wants to take me to the past, I talked to a friend of mine that I've known since first grade, and she immediately said, do you remember when we did this, this, and this? And she wanted to go down memory lane. I didn't want to go down memory lane. That is over. I'm creating a whole new life for myself at every moment. I want a whole new life. I don't want to relive those memories. That's like eating yesterday's food. Do you like leftovers? That's all that is, you know. It's just leftovers. Think about it. That's what it is. It's leftovers. Think of the noon right here and right now. What am I going to do right here and right now? The past does not exist. Does not exist. Your mind can go back there if it wants to. And it can recreate all that stuff for you. But it does not exist. The future does not exist. And so many people want to project themselves into the future. And that causes a lot of worry and a lot of anxiety and so forth when you do that. You must learn to stay right here in the now. And why is it so important to stay in the now? Because this thing that you're trying to become, this thing that you're in training for, this thing that we call God, only lives in the now. That's why we call it a living God. God doesn't live in the past. God doesn't remember any of that. And God doesn't live in the future. God is right here, right now, this very moment, making all things new. Making all things new. We want to go back. We want to go forward. Learn to stay here in the now. Learn to bring your mind into your body and stay there. Stay there with it. People get very jumpy and so forth in the now. Well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Oh my goodness, I'm just... What is this? What am I going to do? But that's the only place you're going to find power. So when you're in the now, say to yourself, I'm right here, I'm right now. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, and this thing called God has given me wonderful, divine ideas for things to come. But those ideas only come now. Those ideas only come now. And then each now moves on. Each now, but you're always in the now. You can't be anywhere else. So if you're trying to find yourself in time, you cannot find yourself in time. You have to find yourself right here and right now. Time has nothing to do with the equation. Time has nothing to do with your life whatsoever. The only thing that has anything to do with your life is the now, this moment. What are you thinking right here and right now? Are you holding yourself in the highest of esteem? Are you saying to yourself, I am God in training? Are you saying right here and right now, I want wonderful, marvelous, divine ideas to flow through me? I want wonderful, divine ideas to flow through me. And they have to flow through you right here and right now. Yesterday is gone, and tomorrow has not come. Yesterday is gone, and tomorrow has not come. If you want to find yourself, if you want to find this thing God, called God, you have to stay in the now. Because God lives in the now. And so do you. But your mind tells you, oh no, I had a past, and I'm going to have a future. See? And you're not. You're not. That's just an illusion. And we think it's so wonderful that we have all that. I hope that everyone had a wonderful past. But you don't have to go back and revisit it. And if you didn't have a wonderful past, make up your mind to go back and change it and make it wonderful. You see, that's the creative power that you have. That's the creative power that you have. Oh, I had such a hard childhood. Oh, shut up. You know, if you had a hard time, forget it. Just forget it. It's no longer there. Every time you think of the past and some hardship and so forth, you're recreating it in the now. But the only power and the point of power is always in the now, and you must start here. You must start in the now. So learn to forgive yourself. Learn to hold yourself in the highest esteem. Learn to say to yourself that I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. And that I am in God training. And I will accomplish this task. I will accomplish this task. I have an affirmation that I do. I am ready for my ordination. Show me my next task. I am ready for my ordination. Show me my next task. You see, you have to do that for yourself. So give up all those other ideas and give up this thing that this God lives somewhere in heaven or wherever you think he lives. Because it's all a bunch of bunk, people. It's all absolute twaddle. And it comes from ancient times and it comes from ancient religions and so forth. And those religions no longer exist. Mount Olympus no longer exists. Thor no longer exists. So let those things go and don't give those attributes to this thing that we call God. In this teaching, we know perfectly well that God is not anthropomorphic, meaning God does not look like a human being. God does not have hands, legs, or anything. I often tell people, if you want to see the hands of God, look at mine. These are the hands of God. They can't be anything else. You see, they cannot be anything else. These are the hands of God. Think of that. Your mind is the mind of God. Your body is the body of God. We think, you know, if we have one bad quality, we think that that's 100%. You must learn to say to yourself, I am 100% God. I am 100% God. Oh, yes, I may have a little anger here, a little anger, but that is a small portion of what I am. And because I'm 100% God, that is disappearing from my character. That is disappearing from my life. This is how you stay in God training. This is how you allow this come out wherever you are, this God to come out. This God to come out. So do that for yourselves. And remember that you're always living, moving, and having your being in the mind of God. And you're playing in the field of the Lord, which means in the field of cause and effect. You're always playing. Playing now, not working, playing in the field of the law of cause and effect, which is a field of total possibilities. A field of total possibilities. Everything is possible with God. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And therein's the lesson. Thank you. Thank you.